Good morning. Chapter 2, as we learned it last week with Rashi, was a description of the exodus from Egypt. The winter has passed, the birds are singing, the sun is shining. God is taking the Jewish people out of Egypt. A beautiful, poetic description of Yetziat Mitzrayim, with, of course, the moments of grave difficulty, as Yonati, my dove, is caught in the cleft of the rock, with the raven on one side and the snake on the other, a description of the Jewish people who are caught at the Red Sea. And God says, Hashmi'ini et kolech, let me hear your voice. Because your voice is sweet. I want to hear how you call out unto God. A beautiful poetic description until we have reached already the point Jews are on their way into the desert. And they've already built the Mishkan. They built the Mishkan, and we're going to see more about that as well. And now comes a period. There's a period of 38 years. Chazal tell us that from the time of the sin of the Meraglim, there was a period of 38 years in which there was a sense of distance that existed between the Jewish people and God. Until toward the end of the 40 years, there, as they prepared finally for the entry into Eretz Yisrael, that relationship was renewed again. And watch how the pasuk is going to describe it. Al mishkavi balelot, on my bed at night, bikashti, I sought, I looked for etzer ohavon nafshi, the one whom my soul loves. Bikashti, I sought him for lo mitzachiv, and I didn't find him. Of course, this is the Jewish people saying they're searching for God during this period at which there is a distance between them. The Gemara describes it, Shahayu nizofim lifnei hamakom. It was as though God was angry with them during that period of 38 years. And now it is expressed in a sort of dream, that she's dreaming. And she's dreaming of the beloved. She seeks him. She wants to find him. So al mishkavi balelot bikashti, I sought et sha'ahavon afshi, the one whom my soul loves. Bikashti, I sought him below mitzosif, and I didn't find him. Okumonos, I decided, and all of this is taking place in her dream. I'm going to get up. Vasovavavair. And I'm going to walk through the city. I'm going to go around the city. Bashvakim ubarachavot, in the marketplaces and in the broad streets, I'm looking for him. She is searching for her beloved. Avaksha, again, I seek et shahavon afshi, the one whom my soul loves. Bikashtiv, I sought him, I looked for him, v'lo mitzativ, and I did not find him. In general, we get the expression that the feeling that Klal Yisrael is aware of the fact that there has been a rupture in the relationship. They're aware of the fact that there is not a sense of God's closest to them. And then, Mitzo'uni Hashomrim Hasovim Be'ir. There are the gods who are walking around the streets to make sure that all goes well. And Rashi says, who are these shomrim that are the guardians of the city? Moshe and Aaron. And she turns to them. You need somebody in the street finally. Somebody to ask, did you see the one whom my soul loves? Have you found him? Have you heard anything from him? Is there a message? Is there something that he says to us? Kimat Avarti Mehem, only a brief period of time before I passed from them. We're now talking about the last year in the desert. the time for Moshe and Aaron to pass from the scene has already come. Kimat she'avarti mihem. It just passed from them. And you know what happened? At shemotzati, I finally found et she'ahavo nafshi, the one whom my soul loves. I found him now with Yahushua as he prepares to lead us into Eretz Yisrael, and it's going to be with great miracles and wonders. God is going to split the Jordan. God is going to bring the walls of Jericho tumbling down. And when I found my beloved, I decided that I'm not going to let this happen again. Ahaztiv, I held on to him, v'lo arpenu, and I'm not going to let go. Ad sheheveitiv, until I brought him, I brought my beloved el beit imi, to the house of my mother, v'el cheder horati, and to the room of my parents. What this really means is that here she takes the Mishkan. The Mishkan is now going to be built in Shiloh in Eretz Yisrael, and in a sense this is their room, this is their home, this is my mother's house, my parents' room. So what has happened now at the beginning of this chapter, in this dream, she sees that the relationship between herself and God has now returned to its original glory. It's what it once was. So she now is going to repeat a pasuk, word for word, a pasuk that was said in the previous chapter. Yes? The dream is the reality, but it's being she's expressing it in terms of a dream. And I believe you know why she expresses it in terms of a dream, because during that 38 year period, which there was a distance between God and the Jewish people, is represented by darkness. The light of God, when there is the great relationship, you know, Bor Panecho Yahalechon, we will go by the light of God. The 38 years of distance are like a period of night. It's a time when our relationship is asleep, and therefore it's only a time of longing and yearning. But the longing and yearning is that great that even in her dreams, this is what she dreams about. To be able to renew the relationship with God. And finally it happens. So as I say, she repeats an oath to the nations of the world, just as she had said earlier at the beginning of that first great relationship, which took place at Revelation at Mount Sinai. I make you swear, I adjure you, nations of the world, don't attempt to interrupt or upset our relationship with God. As long as He is with me, don't attempt to tear us away from Judaism, because this, of course, has always been an ongoing threat to the Jewish people. As the Rambam describes it, there always throughout history, Rambam, one of his great letters, the letter to the Jews of Yemen, he says there always had been two approaches taken by the nations of the world. It is either the approach of destroying us utterly, physically, or those who want to destroy us spiritually and wean us, seduce us away from God. So she says, Hishbati etchem benot Yerushalayim. And benot Yerushalayim, as Rashi had explained, means the nations of the world, because they all will one day not own a piece of Yerushalayim, chas v'sholom, but they will be sort of adjuncts to Yerushalayim. And maybe the American government will finally move its embassy over here, and all other Pashluganay nations, the others, will have their embassies over here. It seems like that's what's going to happen. I don't know whether we need it, but alright, that's what's going to be. It's going to be metropolitan. Yerushalayim is going to be a metropolis for the whole world. So she says, Yishbati etchem benot Yerushalayim bitzvaot, by the gazelle and by the hinds of the field, that if you do anything to upset the relationship between myself and God, you will become hefker, you will suffer. Not to upset or interrupt that love, as long as God wants it. And now, as a number of places in Shir HaShirim, it's sort of a flashback. And Shlomo HaMelech, writing it, is now describing the relationship, how the nations of the world see the Jewish people as they march through the desert on their way out of Mitzrayim toward Eretz Yisrael. And you know what they were saying? Mizot Olam min Hamidbar. Who is this who's coming up from the wilderness? Mizot Olam min Hamidbar. Kitimrot, Kitimrot Ashan. Columns of smoke. Timrot Ashan. The column of smoke that they're talking about over here is the cloud of glory of God that can be seen worldwide above the camp of Israel. It's called Timrot Ashan because it's like a tamar, a date tree that rises tall. Who is this coming out of the desert? Mikuteret Mor Ulavona. And you can smell perfumed with the incense of myrrh and frankincense, mikol avkat rochel, with all the powders of a merchant, one who makes all sorts of fragrances, and that of course is represented by the idea that in the Mishkan Jews Kohanim brought ketoret every day, and then you know what. The nations of the world see, he named me Tato Shel Shlomo. Here is the bed of Shlomo. Shishim Giborim Savivla, 60 mighty ones around it. Mi Giborei Yisrael. It's all an allegory for what is Shlomo's bed? That's the Mishkan, God's dwelling place. That's the bed of Shlomo. Remember the first Rashi? Wherever it says Shlomo in Shir HaShirim, it means God, Melech Shahasholom Shalom, the King who makes peace. The 60 represent the 600,000 mighty warriors of Israel who march surrounding that camp. Kulam Achuzei Cheref, all of them holding on to swords. Melumdei Milchama. And they are experts, they have learned how to wage war. Ish charbo al yedecho, each one with his sword at his side, mipachad balelot, from so that they should not have the fear of night. Rashi over here, of course, is all allegory. He says the warriors that we talk about, of course, have to be understood on two levels. Of course, Jews need warriors. We need warriors, but there are two kinds of struggles. There's the physical struggle that we set against enemies of Israel, and then there's the spiritual struggle. The spiritual struggle of the Jewish people is the one that is expressed by Torah. Melumdei milchama, those who know how to wage the war of Torah. The war of Torah, milchamto shel Torah, the war of Torah is the way that describes the intensity of our devotion to Torah, and we put into Torah the kind of effort that a soldier would put into war. Melumde milchama. Ishcharbo al yedecho, each one with his sword. So Rashi says the sword represents all of the general rules that are necessary for an understanding of Torah. All of this they have with them. And Apirion also lo hamelach Shlomo. I'll tell you over here, when I came to this pasuk, I'm thrilled that I know Hebrew. Because when I read the English, King Solomon made himself a palanquin, ich weiß nicht, was a palanquin is. But I know an Apirion really is a bed. It's a bed with a canopy over it, yes. We have a wedding hall in Yerushalayim called Apirion, brother. So at least I learned now that palanquin. The question is, when will I be able to use palanquin in You know, in conversation, you know, I'm going to my palanquin there. Let the phone kick in the army shigine, you understand. Pirion Osolo Hamelech Shlomo Meatsei Halabanon. Shlomo Hamelech made for himself a bed from the wood of the Lebanon. Here we are getting into very fascinating symbolism. In a number of places in Torah, specifically in Dvarim and in Vayeshanan, Levanon is another term to describe Yerushalayim, the city, and Bet HaMikdash, because it was made from woods, the wood that came, the cedars of Lebanon. So of course when we're talking about the bed of Shlomo, that is not merely the bed, that's the Kodesh HaKodoshim, the Holy of Holies, the holies that he made out of wood of the Lebanon. And now they describe the bed. The bed Amudav Asa Kesef, the pillars are made of silver, Ripidato Zahav, it is inlaid with gold all around, Merkavo Argaman, there are like curtains, purple curtains that are riding across rods. Tocho Ratzuf Ava, it is all paved, the whole interior is full of love. Mibenot Yerushalayim. Here is, I think, the only place in Shir HaShirim where Benot Yerushalayim means the Jewish people. Do you know what was just described in this pasuk? In this pasuk, Amudav Osa Kesef, all of this is a description of the inside of the Kodesh HaKodoshim, the Aron, the Luchos, the curtain of Argamon, the Paroches in front. All of this is the great expression of the deep love that our Kodesh Baruch Hu has for the Jewish people. Se'eina, yes?
But actually it wasn't gold, it was not in silver.
It was what? Yeah, all around, when you take into consideration everything that was there, the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself was gold. There were other things that were silver, we were describing. Huh?
The Mishkan, the pillars were all covered with gold.
All covered with gold, yes. Now we're talking, by the way, the period of time we're talking about now in the historic context of Shir HaShirim is Mishkan Shiloh. After they come into Eretz Yisrael, the Mishkan is placed in Shiloh. You can even see a model, a whole building of it in Shiloh. From there it's going to go to Nov and Givon. We have not yet come to Bet HaMikdash. Se'ena ure'ena b'not Tzion b'melech Shlomo. Go out, go forth, O daughters of Tzion, Jewish people. B'melech Shlomo. And take a look at King Shlomo. Take a look at Atoro. She'itro lo imo, the crown that his mother crowned him with on the day of his wedding, ubiyom simchat libo, and the day of the joy of his heart. There's a Rashi here. There's a Rashi here that we're going to... We understand what the idea of the wedding is. All of Shir HaShirim is talking about the love relationship between God and the Jewish people. Maimon HaSinai is the chuppah. The dwelling place is the Mishkan. But there's a magnificent Rashi here. And if you just turn over the page, it says number one. Right here, we can even start from the right at the top. Merkavo Argaman, the pasuk that I said was describing the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Zeh Parochet, that which was made out of purple wool. Shoyotolu v'rochev al klun saot, it was riding on rods. May amud la amud, from one pillar to the next. Tocho ratzuf, inlaid, all of it is inlaid with love. Sodur beritzvat ava, it is organized with a floor of love. You have the Aron, the Kapodet, the Kruvim, the Luchot, מבנות ירושלים אלו ישראל ידיים ושלמים לקודש ברוך הוא בנות ירושלים. Here it refers already to Israel. The last pasuk, Se'eno ure'eno, go out and see daughters of Zion, go take a look at the great crown that King Shlomo's mother made for him. Who's King Shlomo's mother? King Shlomo in Shir HaShirim is God. Now, I don't want to ask the question in a way that may leave you with a terrible impression, but we're asking over here, who's God's mother? Now, there are some gods that have mothers, but our God doesn't have a mother. So when the pasuk says, take a look at the crown that Shlomo's mother made for him, we have to ask the question, who is the mother? Benot Zion. First of all, Rashi explains, why is the Jewish people called Benot, why are they called Benot Zion? So he says, Bonim Shemitzuyonim Lo, because the word Zion means outstanding. We have it, Mitzuyan, outstanding. You can get a mark in school, Mitzuyan, or Tov Meod, you understand? And then we have it in the Haggadah, Melameid Shehoyu B'nei Yisrael Mitzuyanim Sham. Jews were unique and outstanding in Mitzrayim. They never were submerged beneath that great culture of Egypt. So it says, Mitzuyanolo, through mitzvahs, with mila, and tefillin, and tzitzis. Ba'atorah now, the mother of Shlomo makes the crown. She'itra lo'imo, ohel moed. The crown is the tent of meeting, the Mishkan. Shehu mu'utar begonin, because it is all very beautiful with all sorts of different colors. Cheles, argamon, talarachani, blue, purple, red. Amar Abchunya. Listen carefully. Amar Abchunya. Shaul Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, et Rabbi Lozab Rab Yossi, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. The great Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai once asked Rabbi Lozab Rab Yossi. Rabbi Lozab's father, Rabbi Yossi, was a great thinker in the world of Haggadah. Rav Shimon bar Yochai, you want no less a figure than Rav Shimon bar Yochai, asks Rav Elazar Rav Yossi, Efshe sheshomata me'avicha, is it possible that you heard from your father? Mahu ba'atoro she'itro lo'ima. What does the pasuk mean? The crown that was made for him by his mother. Who is this mother? What does it mean? It's mysterious. Amalo. So Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi says, this is what my father told me. Moshe Lemelech, an allegory, a moshel of a king, Shehaita lo bat yechida, a king who had a one and only daughter, V'haya ohava biyoter, and he loved her very much. V'lo zoz mechavava, the love was that great, ad shekara'o biti, he called her my daughter. Shenemar, Pasuk in Tehillim, Shim'i bat ure'i, listen daughter and see. Alright, you don't have to understand anything yet. You're going to have to understand it when I'm finished. That's when you have to understand it. Lo zoz mechavava, he didn't move from this love, but rather the love, nothing took him away from this love, but it grew greater. Until he called her Achoti, my sister. Shenana, this is a pasuk here in Shir HaShirim. Pitchi li Achoti Rayati, open up for me. This is, remember we learned it in our first year when he comes at night, Kol Dodi Dofek, my beloved is knocking on the door. Pitchi li, open the door to me, my sister, my beloved. So now he calls her sister. First he called her daughter, now he calls her sister. Lo zos mechavava, the love was that great that it became more intense, until he called her Imi, my mother. Shenema, Pasuk in Yeshayo, Hakshivu Elai Ami, listen to me, my people, Ula Umi, and my nation, Elai Ha'azinu, listen unto me. Ula Imi Ksiv. Rabbi Loza is saying that his father, Rabbi Yossi, said that this word, Ula Umi, can also be read as I me. And Amar Rab Shimon Bar Yochai, Rab Shimon Bar Yochai got up unishako arosho, and he kissed him. Rab Shimon Bar Yochai now understands the meaning of Bar Torosha Itra Lo Imo, the crown that his mother made for him Biyom Chatunato Ubiyom Simchat Libo. You don't understand it yet. Good. I just want you to keep feeling that you don't understand it. So that when you finally do, all we need is the rest of the Rashi. When was the day of the wedding? Rashi says, Yom Matan Torah, the day which Torah was given. She'itru lehem lemelech v'kiblu ulo. They crowned him as king, and they accepted his yoke upon themselves. Ubiyom Simchat Lipo, the day of his grave, the happiness of his heart, Zeshmini Limaluim, that's the eighth day of the dedication of the Mishkan, Shenet Chaner Bar Mishkan, Bar Midbar, the day of the dedication of the Mishkan in the Midbar, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Let me tell you what I believe is Pshat. What I believe is Pshat in the... In this medrash, and I was inspired by a shiur that I heard from Rav Soloveitchik many, many years ago, in which I may have told you in some other context, but that inspired me to understand this mashal. The relationship between God and the Jewish people went through three stages. There was the stage of Bat, daughter. There was the stage of Achot, sister. And then there's the stage at which we are the mother, so to speak, of God. The first stage of the relationship was the Jewish people who are in Egypt. They're desperately in need of somebody who is going to take them out. There's no way that they will ever do it alone. The relationship of father and daughter is the relationship of one who desperately needs the other. The father is the dominant figure, and the daughter is the one who needs father. Step one of the relationship. He takes them out of Mitzrayim, and then he brings them to Sinai, and what's going to happen at Sinai? Biyom Chatunato, the day of the Chasana, they are now two equals who are standing together at Sinai. They're entering into a covenant. In a Brit, the definition of a Brit is two people who are equals, who are entering into a relationship. Do you know how Shir HaShirim describes that relationship of equals? Ani l'dodi v'dodi li, I am to my beloved and my beloved is to me. Because any kind of that's what a wedding is. A wedding, both people have to see themselves, both partners have to see themselves as absolutely equal. They are both in need of each other. Ah, what happens if the Torah is given at Sinai? What happens if the Torah is given at Sinai? So here I take you to a shiur that I heard from the Rav. The Rav was talking then about, you may recall when I say how he started, there wasn't about 3,000 people there, and it was one of his shiurim for the Rabbinical Council of America at YU, and he starts the shiur. There were times he would start the shiur by asking a question. Tell me, he says, What's the meaning of the word Baruch? Right? What's the meaning of the word Baruch? So of course, you know, 3,000 frightened rabbis, nobody's going to take a chance. They know that he's preparing a trap. It's mamish. This is clear entrapment. But he doesn't go further. He wants to know, what does the word Baruch mean? So there's always the carbon, you know, the guy that says, you know, the shear has to go on. He says, Rabbi, bless. Okay? That gives the roch. What do you mean, bless? What are you talking about, bless? How can man bless God? What's little man? How do you bless God? And he says, they had just printed a new RCA Siddur. So he said, I know that the Rabbinical Council of America Siddur, every time it says Baruch, says bless. But I want to know, what do you mean by bless? How does little, nothing man bless Almighty God? So he said the following. God is not going to appear to man and prove to him time and time again that he exists. When God descended on Mount Sinai and he spoke to the Jewish people and a whole world trembled and heard, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am God your God. That was it. When that great revelation was over, and God's divine presence rises from the mountain heavenwards, he will never again appear to the world until the day will come that V'hoyo Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz v'yom ahu yiyah Hashem echad ishmo echad. Until the day that God is going to be the one and only king, and a whole world is going to see that Hashem melech. Until that time, God will not appear. We'll be able to see him from time to time. We will be able to perceive him in history. Oh, there are a lot of ways we're going to be able to see him. But there will not be anything even remotely close to Maamar HaSinai. From the moment that God ascends heavenward, the task of revealing God's presence in the world, he hands over to the Jewish people. That's our job. Oh, you know how many times I quoted that great poem about the Israel, my people, God's greatest riddle. Thou alone remainest the witness, bearing the message, God is but one. The Jewish people, they are the ones who reveal God in this world. How? He says, every time that a Jew takes a glass of water in his hand and he says, Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech olam, shehakol nihyah bidvaro, everything came through him, I am revealing God's presence in the world in that glass of water. He quoted, it's not only the Ibn Ezra, but many others who say the word bracha always means to multiply. The real meaning of the word bracha is to multiply. It's used a number of times in Tanakh. Tachna is birchosi. Somebody brings a gift to somebody. Take my bracha. A bracha always means ribui, making something more. Multiplying it. Baruch atah Hashem means I am multiplying the knowledge of God in the world every time I make a bracha. So that means that from the moment of Har Sinai, from Yom Hatunato and further, who becomes, so to speak, the dominant one in the relationship throughout all of history? If God is not going to reveal himself, who will reveal him? We. Can we therefore say that under those circumstances, in a sense, it is Klal Yisrael who is the mother? The relationship has gone from a relationship of daughter, which is desperate need, to a relationship of sister, which represents two people who are equal entering into a covenant at Sinai, to a relationship that's going to go through all of history, where it becomes our task. We're the ones who keep the name of God alive in the world. By the way, they most probably don't like us because of that. And unfortunately, all of our people have all sorts of other reasons why they think that they don't like us, because we're rich, because we're poor, because we're smart, because we're arrogant, because we're communist, because we're capitalist, because we're echreis, you know. But the fact is that when Chazal said that the mountain upon which Torah was given to the Jewish people is called Sinai, because we shone from there, Yordo Sin Ola Olam, hatred came down to the world. We're different, and more than we're different, we have been the conscience of the world. We are the ones who reveal the existence of the Rebbeinu. That's what Rashi means. And that's why Rav Shimon ben Yochai kissed Rav Elazar ben Rav Yossi. He kissed him because that was the pshat. And throughout all history, that's what the relationship is. Of course, ultimately, all three elements of the relationship continue to exist. We are all three. We are Bat, we are Ben, we are Ach and Achot, and we are also Imi. But that's the one that needed to be explained. And I also once pointed out there are other ways in which seemingly it would seem that God is dependent on us. I remember in a Chuvish year, I once said, if you take a look at Shmoneh Esrei, it's very fascinating. God is Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you, God, Chonin Hadot, who gives men wisdom. Mevarech Hashem, you bless the city, the years. Bone Yerushalayim, you build Yerushalayim. Yoshua Me'at Filo, you listen to prayer. Shover Oivim Machnei Azedim, you destroy the enemies and obliterate the evil. There's only one bracha that is so radically different than all of the brachas in Shmoneh Esrei. Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you, God, HaRotzeh B'Tshuva, who wants that we should repent. You know what it means? It's sort of like God is begging. It depends on us. Tshuva has to be an act of our own free will. What can He do? He wants. And in that relationship, it's a relationship in yes, thing we do for Him, just as we are the ones who reveal His presence in the world. So, what He wants of us, and in a sense that He is dependent on us for, is tshuva. So that's, we just now did chapter 3. We did chapter 3. So you know what we're going to do? If we've done chapter 3, you got it. We're going to start chapter 4. And there's two great Rashis. But let's go through it first, a number of Sukkim. Who was talking in chapter 3? In all of chapter 3, who was talking? The girl. It begins with the dream that she has at night. She's looking for her beloved. She seeks him. In her dream, she decides that she's going to go out into the street. She wanders through the thoroughfares until she finally meets the Shomrim, Moshe and Aaron. And now the whole relationship is they have found each other. They've entered Eretz Yisrael. They've now built the Mishkan at Shiloh. Next step in the relationship. Hinochi Oforayati, you are beautiful, my beloved. This is already the Rebbeinu Shlomo speaking. Hinochi Ofer, you are beautiful. Einayich Yonim. Now, obviously, we are now talking at a time at which the relationship between God and the Jewish people is strong. Einayich Yonim, your eyes are like the eyes of a dove, mibad l'tzameich l'tzamateich, behind the veil behind the veil, sareich, your hair are ke'eder ho'izim, like a flock of goats, shegolshu mehar gilad, sliding down from the mountain of Gilad. Now, what it means is sliding down from the mountain of Gilad, we're talking about white goats. They slide down, and the sun is shining on them from the distance. There's such a brilliance and a beautiful shine to it. And well, let me tell you a little bit about what Rashi says. Gilad, by the way, is... there are two places of significance that Gilad appears in Torah when Yaakov is fleeing from before Laban, and there's the great chase that ends on the mountains of Gilad. That's Eivra Yarden, where Laban finally catches up with Yaakov, and of course God is the one who tells Laban, be careful, don't you touch a hair on yon heads. Be careful how you deal with Yaakov and his children. So here it is, the beginnings of climbing. So there's beauty in them as they make their way across the mountains of Gilad, and the beauty is described as the white, clean, washed goats coming down the mountainside. There's another place where we have Gilad, and that's related to this week's Seder. Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe, God speaks to Moshe and he tells them that you are to oppress the Midianites. The Midianites were the ones who caused the terrible tragedy at the end of Parshas Balak. Zimri and Cosby, the illicit relationship with the daughters of Midian, Medaf Nekumen, and from Midian. And that's going to be elaborated on in next week's Seder, when 12,000 men go out to wage war against Midian. And when they return, it's a whole long parasha in Torah, when they return, it seems there are psukim that indicate that everything that they captured in battle, they brought everything back. It was absolutely, nothing stuck to them. Not a penny, not a pruta. They didn't commit any sin at all of an immoral nature during the course of that campaign. Even in if there may have been thoughts, they brought kabbonis. We're talking about 12,000 people who went to Gilad, that all of them returned. Everybody returned. They are seen as great, great people. Gilad represents... them as well. So he says, and there's one other thing that I want to tell you is going to begin in this chapter. No less than three times is Rashi going to say it, and it's a tremendous lesson in not only the relationship of Ava between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael, but Avas Yisrael. Three times he's going to use nearly the same words. Mibad l'tzamateich means under the covering of your hair, you are beautiful. So he says, you know what that represents? That represents that within your community, afilu rekonin shevach, even the empty ones, and the Malayan mitzvahs are full of mitzvahs. Rashi is going to talk about Avas Yisrael on a number of occasions. There are another two times where her face is going to be described, because remember, it's a revelation. Now he's talking about the beauty of Klal Yisrael, the woman, and he's going to describe how her forehead is like a pomegranate, and that's always used. The pomegranate represents something that has all sorts of kernels and pits in it. Afilu reikonin rakoseich. They come in Shabbat. The empty ones are full of mitzvahs. But look, we have a number. I want to get to one Rashi in particular. Shinayich, your teeth are ke'eder haktzuvot, like a flock of shorn ewes that are very white. She'olum and arachza, that have just come up from the from the washing, shekulan matimot, all of them bear twins, the shakula ein behem, none of them is bereft, they're all full of life. Kechut hashani sif toteich, your lips like a thread of scarlet, umid boreich naveh, and your mouth is beautiful. It means that it talks about the idea, as Rashi says, that you keep your word here, a very beautiful one. Kechut hashani sif toteich, like a thread of scarlet. So Rashi over here says, where do we have a thread of scarlet? Where does that go? Where? Kind of, all right, but let's go a little further. What? Rachav in Yericho. The Meraglim who come to Yericho tell her, put a thread of red outside your window and we'll make sure to save you when Yericho is going to fall. So what he's describing, remember, we're already inside Eretz Yisrael. The Mishkan is already at Shiloh. They've crossed into Eretz Yisrael. So now, Chut HaShani Sifdoteh, he is saying about her, the Rebbein Shalom, that Kleinsel, you keep your word. Your lips are beautifully red because you kept your word that the red bendel over there, the red bendel that's hanging from the window of Rochel's house. Kechut hashani umidbareich nava kefelach harimon rachateich. Here is where I met you. Your cheeks are like a piece of pomegranate mibab letzavateich within your veil. Here Rashi is going to say again, even the empty ones amongst you, even the most poshita of Yidden is full of mitzvahs. Kemigdal David Tzavareich, your neck is like the Tower of David. You know, your posture is beautiful. Banui l'tampiyot, we'll have to get back to all the meanings of it, but I want to get to one Rashi. Kemigdal David Tzavareich, banui l'tampiyot, and it is built with turrets. Elat Hamagain Taluyalov, 1,000. Here also, another example where thank God I know Hebrew. I don't know what bucklers are, but I know what a Magain is. A Magain is a shield. Kol Shilte Hakibodim, all the shields of the mighty. Shnei Shadayach Kishnei Afarim, your two breasts are like two fawns. Ta'omeitz via haroim bashoshanim, who are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle. That's the, you know, there's an important Rashi over here, not yet the great important Rashi, but you know what? Let's see. Let's do that Rashi now. Turn to the next page, Shnei Shadayim, where it says number two. Your two breasts, hameni kototach, that nurse you. Who are they? That's Moshe Va'aron. They are kishnei afodim to'omei tzviel. They're like twins. Derech tzviel, the deer, liyot yoledet to'omim, it always gives birth to twins. Kach shneim shovim, both of them are alike. They're ushkulim zekozeh, they're equal. Dovaracha. Second pshat, Rashi says. Shnei shadayach. Al shem shnei haluchos, the two luchos, Ten Commandments, five on one side, five on the other. Rashi is going to explain how they are absolutely equal. They correspond to one another, and this is the image that he uses is shnei shadayah, your two breasts. Take a look. Ta'omei tzviya shehem, they're like twins. Twins. Shehem mechuvanot b'mida achat. They're all the same. V'chamisha dibros al zu. V'chamisha al zu. The five commandments on one side and the five commandments on the other. Mechuvanim. They correspond exactly. Dibur keneged dibur, one for the other. Each commandment corresponds to the other. What's the first one on the first side? Allah, I am God, your God. Keneged, what corresponds on the other side? Lo tirtach, thou shalt not kill. Sheherotzeach, because a murderer, mima'eit et hadmut shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The one who kills, in a sense, so to speak, diminishes the image of God in the world. Murder is destructive of sanctity and holiness in the world. It's not only a crime against man, this is a crime against God as well. What's the second one? The second one is, Lo yelcho, there shall be no other gods before you. You dare not be faithless. What's the second one? What's number seven corresponding to it? Lo tinah. You shall not commit adultery. Shehazone achar avodos kechavim. Because the one who turns toward idolatry, the one who is faithless to God, is derech isha hamena efes tachat isha. It's like a woman who is unfaithful to her husband. Titachet zavim, takes other men. Lo yeh lecho, there shall be no other gods before you, in a relationship of faith and trust. There shall be no other men or women before you. Lo tisha, you shall not take the name of God in vain. Keneged lo tignov, on the other side, it says thou shalt not steal. Because the fact is that if one is going to steal, you know what's going to end up? He's going to end up swearing by everything that's unholy that he didn't steal. He's going to end up, in a sense, desecrating and taking the name of God in vain. And then we see it, time and time again. No, I didn't do it. No, I'm not guilty. What are you talking about? It's all a plot. And then finally, you know, when the deal is made, you find out exactly what happened. Zohar et Yom HaShavos L'Kav, shall remember the day of Shabbos. That corresponds to Lo Tana. On the other side it says, you shall not bear false testimony. By our keeping Shabbos, we bear testimony that God created the world. The one who's going to be Mechal Shabbos is going to be bearing false testimony. So here you have, on the one hand, Zohar, remember Yom HaShabbos, and on the other you have Lo Tana, do not bear false witness. Shaham Echalol es HaShabbos, because whoever desecrates Shabbos, may it sheker, the borough testifies falsely about his creator. Loma, and says Shalom Shabbos b'Shabbos b'Reishis, that God didn't rest on that first Shabbos. Kabeid et Avicha v'et Imecha, which is on the fifth, on the first side, that corresponds to Lo Tachmod. You shall not covet your friends, his wife, his house, his possessions. Because Shachomeid, because somebody who desires so for the end is that he will give birth to a son, Shemaklo, so Umechabed L'Misheino Oviv, it will embarrass him and will give honor to somebody who is not really his father. You create all sorts of terrible relationships between men and women that give birth to all sorts of terrible children. So Shnei Shadayach, Shnei Afarim, these are the five dibros connected, the other five dibros. Let's go back just a little bit more to the text, and we're going to have to finish this last page as a major shir in and of itself. So we have another week yet into the text. Let's go. Agshia Fuachayom. We have the words Agshia Fuachayom in the second chapter too. And there Rashi explained Agshia Fuachayom as meaning as sort of as the day blows away and ends. What this always represents is that there's going to be this great relationship. Take a look from Pasuk Aleph until now. He's been telling her how beautiful she is, And now something has gone wrong in the relationship. Something's happening. Until the day ebbs away, the nasu hatzlolim, and the shadows flee. And you know what he says? He says to her, "Eilech li el har hamor. I'm going to go to Har Hamor, ve'el givat halavona, and to the hill of Levona, frankincense." What it means is that we're now entering into the period where the Mishkan is destroyed, and what God is looking forward to now is going to be the relationship that's going to take place at Har Hamor, Har Hamoria. The next stage in the relationship is going to be renewed, where the Beit HaMikdash is going to be built on Har Hamoria. That's going to bring in an entire new chapter in Jewish history. Rashi explains that during the time of Eli, when his sons Hophni and Pinchas did not conduct themselves properly, that ultimately brought to the destruction of Mishkan Shiloh. There's going to be a turbulent period of time, until the Beit HaMikdash is going to be built, and then. When that relationship is renewed, then it's going to be, "You, my beloved, you are completely beautiful. There is absolutely no blemish in you." Yes, Hashem, the shiur next week is going to be on Iti Milevanon Kala. Iti Milevanon. Okay. Good day, next week. Huh? Oh.